Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Better, Bolder, Braver podcast. If you're listening to this on your favorite podcast listening channel, not channel, platform, or if you're watching this on YouTube, hello. This is a conversation between myself, Frances Vogel, and Simon Batchelor, and we are the co-founders of the Better, Bolder, Braver community for coaches, where we help coaches, or people helpers, as we now like to call them, or I like to call them, to put themselves out there in the world with greater confidence, clarity, and joy. And we're having this conversation today because we have some big news. I'm going to announce that Simon is moving away from the Better, Bolder, Braver community. And we're going to tell you all about why and what Simon is going to be doing next. And we thought we'd dedicate some time to reflecting with each other with fondness on everything that has happened for us in giving birth to this lovely space. And also, I wanted everyone to have the chance to hear about the really exciting stuff that Simon has lined up for them in the future. And indeed to make a couple of announcements myself about exciting times to come for Better, Bolder, Braver. So, Simon, it's been quite a wonderful whirlwind, hasn't it? We met at the beginning of the year in 2021, I think. And the story goes that you had been playing around with a community, a marketing community, but were wanting to kind of niche down a little bit into a particular group of people with a particular set of needs, wants, and challenges. And meanwhile, I had set up something called Optimistic Marketing, which was a service dedicated to coaches to help them emotionally cope better with how the whole marketing thing was making them feel. And I noticed you because you had been running a podcast with Adam Bastock for a while called Bullshit Busters. And you noticed me, I think, because you were starting to think about coaches. And then we got chatting and decided to make Better, Bolder, Braver be born. So do you want to talk about how it's felt for you to put the whole thing together, and how you're feeling about it on having to leave now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things where it was at a time when there was a lot of communities suddenly springing up because a lot of stuff had to go online with the lockdowns. So I think community was very at the forefront of what a lot of people were offering, and a lot of organizations that had been meeting up in person had switched to online. There was a lot of Slack channels, and there was a lot of other communities that set up. And I think we just saw an opportunity for a different way of doing it that arrived, and it sort of felt like the right time to gather those people together in a different way than was being offered elsewhere. And some of the offerings were not really, we thought, focused in the right direction. There's a lot of people out there who were making a lot of money out of people who were feeling a bit lost and a bit overwhelmed and promising lots of magical things that would arrive and then never did. And I think that's what drove us to, or was the sort of driving force behind us setting it up. So in doing so, it was a bit of an experiment, really, to see, well, we think that this is what people out there are thinking and what they want. Is that the case? So, yeah, it was a really good, fun way of proving that actually there are people who are thinking the same way we're thinking about it and want to do stuff in the same way that we like to do stuff. Mm. So that was really good fun, opening the doors and seeing those people sign up.
Yeah, and by that point, we'd both become quite triggered by what we have come to call toxic marketing bullshit, which is a very technical term that encompasses a lot of the things that we have seen over the years. So both Simon and I come with respectively 20 years or more now. So 40 plus between us in the world of marketing and communications across all of the sectors. And Simon has been running a web development agency called Palant Digital in the background for over 20 or 20-ish years. And I've been in and out of different sectors in-house as a marketing person, private sector, charity sector, arts sector, government. So between us, we've seen a lot of things. We've seen things go really well, not so well, and we've seen a lot of, as we say, toxic marketing bullshit being employed, sometimes consciously, sometimes not consciously. And we stumbled upon, I found something called the Ethical Move, which was at the time a pledge that marketing professionals could sign up to avoid things like ticker timers and arbitrary countdowns and sort of 99.99 pricing, which really resonated with us. And Simon and I also felt that it was a really great sort of badge to wear. And so you'll find the Ethical Move on our Better World Braver website. And we interviewed Alice, who is the founder, back in the day. And we've just had some wonderful conversations with some wonderful people that we now call part of our marketing family. Out of our passion for ethical marketing, Simon, also in tandem to having founded the community and running Palant, has written a book, which you can see in the background there, called Reframing Marketing, which is available in many places. The best place to go in the first instance is Simon's website, which is simonbatchelor.com. Is that correct, Simon?
Or reframing
Sorry,
marketing.com.
reframingmarketing.com.
Yeah, you can just order it direct from me then, and then I can
You can get a signed copy,
sign
I
it.
guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sign it and send it off. Yeah.
Personal non-bullshit message.
Exactly.
And I suppose both of us have been one of the things that we champion in the community. I think a lot has happened. So first of all, we started the community to help people to learn how to do good ethical marketing, and to feel better about it. That was the kind of premise. And we built a course, which is still the course that we offer, and we get a lot of excellent feedback on, called the Coach's Marketing Journey course, which is available on the platform that we decided to build our community on, which is Mighty Networks, after a lot of hard work on Simon's part in assessing which was the best platform for us. And so, in addition to the course, we provide pastoral support and emotional support and technical support for people in the form of a number of workshops and events in the community that are all available within the membership. There's accountability and sort of co-working opportunities, and it's done so well in terms of retention that we are in the top, I think, 20% of Mighty Networks, thousands of communities. And in fact, I was invited to speak with them the other day, as a kind of, example of a mighty community, which was a real honor. And we're really proud of that. And we've come to understand that we have marketed and sold to people what they think they want, which is simply how to do good marketing. But what we've come to understand is that what people really need is both the knowledge and the learning journey that's accessible and inclusive, but also the chance to not do it alone and to be inspired by others, and to be able to collaborate with others, and particularly when people are working in silo alone, to feel like they have a community. And that's what's been, I think, for both Simon and me, one of the most lovely things to witness, and which is why we've got such good retention. So Simon is largely responsible for the course, I would say, in terms of not only a lot of the content, but also in terms of the technical know-how for how to build a course and for it to re record videos and all of that sort of stuff. How was it for you, Simon, to produce a nearly 70 video learning journey for people to be available digitally?
It was quite, it was an interesting process to go through because it's hard to distill a concept down into something that's 3 to 4 minutes long. And then that kind of taught me a lot about how to get across what you want to get across in a way that is less telling and more showing. And I think that was quite an interesting one, because when you're sort of working with clients, you're saying, well, I think you should do this, because you've got all of the constraints, you've got all of their sort of situation in front of you, so you can advise very specifically on what to do. But when you extract that into from a course, i.e. you don't know who's watching it, what the situation is, what the constraints are, what the you don't know any of the situation. You have to sort of rise up a level and say, right, well, here's advice for people in lots of different situations that's going to work, or here's a concept that you can understand and you can apply in your own way. And I think that was a really useful process to go through, to say, well, how would you talk about doing, how do you talk about writing your own story when you don't know anything about the person sat on the other end, other than the fact that they're a coach? That's all you've got to go on. It's like, ah, that's quite interesting, because now we can't talk about, the detail of it. We can't talk about the situation. We can't talk about their starting point. We can't talk about it. All has to be abstracted to a point where it's really relevant, but it's actually they're making it relevant themselves. And when I was doing this in the previous community that I ran, I found that the people who were able to do that best were coaches. So my previous community was open to lots of small business owners from all different business sectors, but actually the people who really got it and were able to do it best were coaches. So that's why then when we started this, I knew that we were in safe hands with this kind of course, because coaches are able to look at things from different perspectives. So asking them to do that isn't a challenge. Whereas most business owners, if you say, yeah, but flip that round to the different perspective, and they can't do it. No, does not compute. So with coaches, it's great, because you can say, well, think about this, about that, think about that, like that. And then the way you describe that, that's what you know what I mean? As an example, but like that idea of being able to break something down into small constituent parts was a really interesting way of working. And then essentially writing the course was a sort of evolution from what I had created in the past, which was a sort of marketing for small businesses series of courses I ran during the lockdown. And it was growing that and then also niching it down into the coaching specifics. So yeah, it was good fun. But then also I learned a lot about recording video and how hard that is in certain ways, and how easy it is in other ways, and what works and what doesn't. I very quickly worked out that how I like to record videos, which has helped me massively then in making my own content, because yeah, it's just refining that workflow and working out actually that really doesn't work, or doing it that way takes absolutely ages, which is fine when you're making a 3 minute video, but you don't want to find that out on the back end of a hour-long chat or something. It's really, really not very good at all.
Yeah, I think, you're just making me want to sort of say out loud again that we often say out loud what it is that we're going through in terms of our own journey. And I think people find that really helpful. So we have tried, or rather, we haven't needed to try. We've just simply been able to model by working out loud and yeah, exemplifying how, for example, hard it is to record a good video. I mean, I anyone in the community will see that I'm not as comfortable on video as Simon is. And interestingly, my whole contribution to this community is around how marketing is making you feel. So the videos that I wrote the content for and recorded are not only meta in that I feel really uncomfortable recording them. And therefore demonstrate that it's not easy sometimes to put yourself out there. But a lot of the content of my my videos and the part of the course that I wrote is around stuff to your point that coaches can really understand. And I think something that we've come to appreciate more and more is the emotional intelligence of the people in this community and how quickly people are able to grasp not only the conceptual, technical, how to do marketing stuff by applying it to their own personal circumstances, but they're also able to empathize and relate to empathize with and relate to what we talk about when we're talking about the emotional side of marketing. And that was pretty unique. And we noticed that there weren't a lot of people in our world talking about how the whole marketing thing was making you feel. There was a lot of how to do, not so much how does it feel. So with all that being said, and with the community growing and thriving and becoming more in lots of ways more exciting, nevertheless, it's time for you now, isn't it, to step away and sort of in some ways move back to Pallant. I feel in a way that you and I have had this lovely relationship and now you're going home, going back to Pallant. You've had a bit of a refresh in terms of what Pallant's all about, but also you're going to be picking things up with Adam Bastock, who I mentioned was how I originally got to know you through Bullshit Busters. And it'd be lovely, I think, if people could hear a bit more about, yeah, the decision to be able to leave Better World Braver at this time and what you're going to be doing over there moving forward.
Yeah, well, so from an agency side, we've been growing and then shrinking and then growing and shrinking that agency for about 20 years in many different forms. And we've realized that ultimately we've got about another 15 years of running it before maybe 20 if we get bored of not running it. But like 15, 20 years, really, we've got the same again to go before we'll stop doing it. And intentionally by design, we have set the whole business up so that we can, when we're finished with it, just close the doors and go home. There's no big exit plan, but that is by design. So me and my business partner Ben decided that we would actually sit down and think, well, what do we want to do for the next stage of this? Because we've sort of fumbled our way through the first 20. Of, well, let's try this, let's try this, let's try this. And then when we actually thought about it, we realized that we're kind of aligned on taking it in a slightly different direction than it is now. And in order to do that, it was going to take more of my time, in order to sort of steer the ship into a new direction. But also, part of what we wanted to do and part of the work that we felt drawn to in this sort of semi-new direction is just going to need more of my involvement, which up till now it hasn't needed quite as much on the day-to-day side, but actually in the delivery and implementation of what we're thinking of doing, it is going to need a bit more of my time. So in doing so, I had to look at the amount of time and energy I had available because it's easy to just say yes to everything and to go, that looks fun and exciting over there. And then, as I've learned in the past, you don't always make those things work. And when you look back on why they don't work, it's actually just because you were trying to spin too many plates. And I think we've been guilty of that before. Not guilty, that's the wrong word. We've been susceptible to that before of saying yes to something, getting involved in something, starting it, and then it sort of fizzles out because there just isn't enough time or effort or focus maybe going into it. So in order to make sure that this direction change works, there was a need to focus and make sure that there was the time in order to be able to focus on what we want to do more of within the agency.
And how does that relate to Ben? Sorry, yeah, Adam. Sorry, Adam Bastock. And what's going on
So,
with Adam?
Adam Bastock, who founded Small 99, which is an organization that is set up to help small businesses reach net zero. And we do that through a series of ways. There is the sort of meetups that are the sort of informal, quite fun meetups called People Planet Pint. which is just getting lots of people who are all thinking about sustainability and business in the same room. That's pretty much it. There's not really much more to it than that. It's just meet up, chat to people, have a good time. And then there are some workshops that Adam's been designing last year, and myself and a number of other people have given some input into that course format and program. And I'm now at a point where I can facilitate those workshops, and I'm starting to do that with someone else, a lady called Alex Pearson in Brighton, and we're starting to run those workshops, and they're in-person workshops for small businesses to attend to start making a carbon reduction plan, which helps them look at their sort of whole scope of their business, really. So looking at all of your business activities, you do a very sort of a surprisingly accurate but delightfully quick to fill in carbon footprint measurement. So you answer 20 questions, which takes about 2 minutes, because they're mainly yes, no answers, and it gives you a carbon footprint. And it is really actually, when I did it, it was about 90% as good as the one that took me about half a day to do. So 2 minutes versus half a day, it's about 90%. I'd go with the 2 minute one. And then what you do, it shows you what the biggest slice of those emissions is. And then in the workshop, we go through all of the different slices and give you some really easy, high impact stuff you can do. So that workshop is something that I'm doing more of. But then, in order to help sort of generate some interest and some enthusiasm around those workshops, I've partnered again with Adam. We're rebooting the old podcast in a slightly different format, but be me and him on the screen again. And yeah, I'm going to be making some more content and helping sort of get the word out about how businesses can essentially turn a lot of the wasted time, energy, and in some ways money that they have in their business into profit for their business. And you do that by simply looking at what you're doing. And it sounds almost embarrassingly simple, but it is something that most businesses don't do, is that sort of, spend some time, even if it's an hour-long workshop, looking at the business and saying, oh yeah, that's really weird. We throw away all that stuff, and we could be selling that stuff because other people buy it. Or we're currently buying in all this stuff, but there's someone on our industrial estate who's literally throwing it in the bin, and we could be saving money there. And that's the so that is sustainability. It's making a more sustainable business. But a lot of businesses won't even go near that type of thinking, because they're like, well, I don't have to. The government's not saying I have to just yet. But the reality is that there is a lot of activities within businesses that are, they're literally throwing money in the bin, or they're buying something that's really expensive that they could be generating themselves. Or anyway, that's a very long answer to a short question.
And just to be clear to everybody, the connection between what Simon is doing with Adam is not formally under the Pallant Digital umbrella, but there is a connection in that Pallant and the direction that Pallant's going to go in is connected because dot 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 just spell
Yes,
check.
sorry, I forgot to make that link because I
That's
was rambling
okay.
on about
That's okay. No,
sustainability.
we're very good that you did. But just to make it really clear, Pallant's new direction
So
is.
one of the directions that we're going with the agency is that we're going to be working with small business owners to help them design and implement a carbon reduction plan, but also we're going to be helping them communicate that plan back through their website, through their marketing, and also back to the team internally as well. So that's something we're looking to develop over the next few years. Well, probably a year, but you know what I mean? It's that kind of that we are getting asked by more and more clients if we can help with that. So we are now working with a number of other people to bring all of those expertise in to our offer, and to help some of our clients essentially reach the net zero target that they want to achieve and are increasingly being asked to provide evidence of, some of which need to produce it this year, which is quite urgent for some companies, because it is. So that's really what's driving this, and that hence why I need to put the time into making this happen, because there is an urgency to all of this, not least from the climate point of view, but also from a actual just business and logistics point of view. it just from a longevity of our business and their businesses, that's what's driving that change, I think, from our side.
Yeah, and this is a really great opportunity for us to, I think, share with people how serendipitous the world is. And so at the same time that a lot of this thinking was going on for Simon, I gave birth to Francis Fogel, Story Strategist, to some degree inspired by Simon's independence and ability to manage not too many things, but a few things at once. And one of the things that we talk about in the community is what we call the work-work balance, which I came up with because people talk about work-life balance all the time. And what we saw was a lot of people coming out of coaching training and having this sense that they then needed to just become coaches all day long, every day, and that they would suddenly earn a fortune. And we knew that wasn't the case. It was hard. It's hard. But also, it might not be for the best that you just do coaching all day, every day. And you might like to have, as we call it, a work-work balance where you're doing a job somewhere or something else. So we're big champions and advocates of, you know, being able to collaborate with this person over here and do this thing over there and, you know, wear a number, albeit in a limited, contained and sort of self-aware way, a number of hats, as Simon has discussed, they do with Palant and now with Adam and with me, with Better Bod Braver. So, as I say, rather inspired by Simon, I also decided, and because I got out what I call the spreadsheet of things and realized I needed to financially, I decided to give birth to another business that's mine, called Francis Fogel Story Strategist. And I've been in the world of corporate responsibility on and off for 20 years. And so it very much informs that side of things for me as well. But the driver of Francis Fogel Story Strategist, which is a kind of non-exec director, fairy godmother type strategic offering for small to medium-sized businesses in London and the Southeast, is to help them take storytelling as a starting point to work out what they're all about as a founder, leader, custodian, or business, and then to use that story to underpin four different strategies. One is marketing and sales, so that they can make more money and therefore last longer and punch with and above the big boys and girls in the economic market. The second is employee engagement, not well-being, but engagement in the story. The third is customer loyalty, as opposed to customer retention, but actually a sense of loyalty to a cause. And the fourth is community care. And something that's happened for Simon and me more and more in sort of holding Better Bod Braver and our community members is the idea of a bigger picture system change. And certainly for me, it's been increasingly a turn on in terms of the work that I do with people to support them in articulating a bigger picture system change and then kind of designing their businesses to accommodate that change and to give them a sense of agency, responsibility, and ability to kind of deliver it one person at a time, as a coach might, or one employee at a time, or one customer at a time, or in your community. And so where it gets really interesting is that I have a number of people that once I've helped an organization put a strategic picture together for, I might need to call upon to come in and do something to support it. And Palant and Adam and Simon Show might be the kind of people that I would call on if an organization I'm working with is feeling like a rabbit in the headlights, scared, wanting to reach net zero. And as Simon says, you know, an organization aware of the targets that are becoming increasingly sort of demanding, what's the word? That they're being expected of, demanded of by government to kind of reach these targets, and they're slipping through the net because they're neither the big organizations that have loads of budget and know-how and internal knowledge to deliver on them, nor are they any organization that can get away or would want to get away with not actually looking closely at them. And so I would love to bring Simon and Adam and Ben in where I can to support people. That was a very long-winded explanation of the serendipitous link between what Simon is going off to do now and is able to leave Better Bod Braver to do, and what it is that I'm doing over there. And I think the headline for me, and the reason why I want to continue with Better Bolder Braver, is that I can help founders and leaders of organizations using storytelling. But I also want to continue to help coaches and people helpers to work with one client or two or 10, however many they need to at a time, to shift that dial that they've decided is the dial they want to shift in the world. The reason I had to do Francis Fogel's story strategist is because we've wanted to keep Better, Bolder, Braver at a particular price point so that it's inclusive and accessible for people. And what that means is Simon and I have not been laughing our way to the bank for the last 3 years. It does turn over enough for us to be able to show people how building a community can work, but at the same time, we do not hold back on showing that it's hard work and it is time consuming. And as Simon says, one has to be mindful of one's capacity and energy. But I, in order to continue to run Better World Braver, have needed to also do other things. And so, yeah, we talk about money, don't we, Simon, quite a lot, and we try and do it in a realistic way. So I just wanted to add that into this conversation in case anyone was just wondering. Like how it was all stacking up for us financially. So where to go from here, Simon? Do people maybe want to know technically how this is going to work? We can explain that. Shall I do that? So in joining Better Bolder Braver now, you will find that there's a lot of Simon's face still all over the place. And that's because thankfully Simon is not dying. Simon is still alive and well. And I want Simon's legacy to be left in place. And the videos will therefore continue to have Simon's face on half of them. And much of our wonderful content on the Better Bolder Braver website is thanks to Simon and has Simon's name therefore credited, and that will remain. But Simon is not going to be in the community anymore. And yet you can still go and buy Simon's book, which is very complimentary. You can still download the plan that Simon wrote, which is the plan in reframing marketing the book in the community. So as a coach in Better Bolder Braver, there's still a lot of Simon there, which I'm
And
really
also just to
pleased
reiterate that
about.
the plan is in the book and is explained in the book, but in the videos in the course, the plan is explained within the context of the CMJ, the coach's marketing journey. So it's sort of double complementary in that sense. It's not like the plan is a sort of standalone thing. I've baked the plan elements into the coach's marketing journey, because that was the bit. When we got to the end, some people felt that that's what they wanted to do next. So that's why that kind of sits, I think, quite nicely in the whole flow. Because for some, they're like, great, I've got all this thinking, I just need to organize it. And this sort of helps people find where their really strong suit is, and maybe where there's fewer cards on the table, should we say. And they're like, that's the bit maybe I'll focus on
Yeah,
first. And
it's great.
this,
It's a really
yeah.
great bringing to consciousness what it is that you might still need to do when you finish the coach's marketing journey and you think you've got it all sorted, which you will largely. I mean, nothing's ever sorted for life, but you'll feel a lot better. But as Simon says, use the plan, which you can also download from our website, by the way, at no cost, as it were. If you just want to have a go at sort of what it, just trying to tease out what you might be blind to, if you like, that you might be needing to do in marketing. It's a really lovely tool to use. Also, just to say that Simon has recorded copious tools and techniques sessions, as we call them, which are really wonderful geeking out opportunities where you will learn so much technically about how to do good ethical marketing. They are all recorded and they are all available in our Tools and Techniques library for anybody there and anybody joining. The price of membership is gonna remain because I want to continue to make it accessible, which is arguably ridiculous given the cost of life these days. But I have plans, which I'd like to share in this conversation, for how I will grow the community a little bit, which continues to make it cost effective for me to run it. So yes, if I can do that now, Simon, if that's a good time. So I'm really excited because, as is the case in the world, when something comes to you, it makes you think. And when Simon said to me, "I'm gonna have to go," I suddenly thought, this is what happened in my mind in the conversation when Simon said, "I'm gonna have to go." The first thing was, I can't do this without Simon. There's no way I can do this without Simon. And then very, very quickly, I went to, I probably can do this without Simon. I just need to do it with someone else. I can't possibly do this on my own, little Francis. And very, very quickly, as a result of having changed so much myself in the last few years, not least thanks to Simon's company and, sort of just, I've enjoyed working with Simon so much and I've learned so much about myself as well in building this community. As a result, I had the confidence and very quickly then came to, I can do this on my own. I'll be okay. So it sparked, though, some thought on my part as to what I might need to do as part of that, doing Better Bold and Braver thing on my own. And the upshot is that I've got three exciting things to announce. And one is I'm not going to keep the doors open all day long every day. There's going to be four times in the year where you can join Better Bolder Braver from now. So we have been running sprints of the coach's marketing journey now for, I think, nearly 2 years, which have worked really well because it's both a self-paced course, but also it's punctuated by regular check-in sessions dedicated to each of the chapters, six chapters on the course. Those will continue, and people will be able to continue to work through the content in a self-paced way. But I want as many people to start the journey at the same time as possible. And if I open the doors for a certain amount of time, that's more likely. Well, that's inevitable. Plus, I had a really good conversation with my friend Karen Weber, who runs what in other worlds might be seen as our competitor, but she and I have become really good friends because we both cheerlead the same stuff. And so we don't compete. We, in fact, talk to each other when we have questions about our businesses. And I said to her, rather like what you've done there of closing and opening your doors, but I'm a bit mindful of the ethics of it all from a arbitrary countdown psychological manipulation perspective. Can we talk about this? And she had also had similar thoughts because she's also in the ethical mood. And what she explained to me made so much sense, which is I could be trying to sell shit all day long as a community host and course provider of how to do marketing. But I'd really rather not. I'd really rather be not selling all day, but rather providing a service and teaching. So if I ring fence a sales time for myself, then I can be really clear as to what it is I'm meant to be putting out there as a call to action. And then when the doors close, I can stop selling. And that's really nice. And that really, really resonated with me. So that was one really good reason, alongside providing a really sort of collaborative and much more enjoyable learning journey for the people in the community. So for those two reasons, and not for some arbitrary countdown, not toxic marketing bullshit reason, one can join the community now just four times a year. So look out for that, the detail around that. The second thing that I want to share is that we've had people join the community from the United States. And recently, somebody said to me they did that because they just simply couldn't find anything like Better Bolder Braver in America, which I found impossible to believe. But there you go. Apparently, there's nothing like Better Bolder Braver. an inclusive community for coaches that is based on good ethical marketing. And for example, has one of the big coaching accreditation bodies behind it and provides continued professional development points with its course. And I'm really pleased to hear that. The problem is, all of our sessions up to now have been in the morning UK time, which is not very inclusive for people who are not in the UK. So I'm changing those sessions, 80% of them, to exist in the afternoons. And that's so that people in both the East and West Coast of America, but also in the UK and Europe, can continue to attend. And more to the point, people in the UK and Europe can feel like they've had a really nice full day of work, coaching, marketing, or whatever they do, and then cut treat themselves, as it were, to a session at the end of the day and better, bodder, braver. So that's exciting news number two. And I've also got some other really exciting news, which is exciting news number three, which is that I'm seeing more and more wonderful collaborations in the community. And in fact, people are kind of stepping up to kind of support me in offering marketing mentorship and sort of pastoral care, as it were, and just general community care for people. The details of that are going to be announced shortly in our socials as to what that actually means. But it's just to say that whilst I'm incredibly sad to be saying goodbye to Simon in a lot of ways, I completely understand what Simon's doing next. I see lots of parallels and opportunities for us to collaborate. And also, there's some amazing people in the community who are kind of, in some ways, filling Simon's boots with regards to some of the things that I don't love doing all the time, some of the technical things, and also just to support me in holding people's hands. So that's really nice. And then just before I forget, Simon, this is not the end of the Simon and Francis show, is it? Because we're going to continue to run Association for Coaching quarterly workshops, which is something we've been doing for the last year and a half, and honored to be a part of. But also, you and I are going to come together, aren't we, once in a while, and banter as we do about whatever it is that we need to scratch and itch around in terms of marketing. So yes, that's how we're going to carry on together. Have you got anything else you want to kind of add into this for people to be aware of or to think about, maybe?
No, don't think so.
Okay. So basically, Simon is going to be sticking around until the end of this sprint of the Coach's Marketing Journey, which is in about 2 weeks. So if you're in the community, come to the last check-in that Simon will be running, which is all about Simon's marketing plan. And then we have like a week or two off before we start the sprint again. But yeah, if you've got any last technical questions for Simon or wishes for like a last swan song tools and techniques session, now is a good time to ask Simon to deliver on those things. And we really hope that this kind of candid, honest conversation is what people need in terms of clarity, or if they had any concerns or questions about why would half of such a lovely thing be not there anymore. But we're keen to make people feel safe and sort of looked after, I guess. So yeah, Simon, thank you, I want to say, for everything.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's been good fun. So yeah, thanks very much, everybody. We'll see you around soon.
See you around. Take care.
Bye.